to the Blind Handyman Show. This is show number 47, by the way, and is recorded August 5th, 2003, at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining all design with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts for the Blind Handyman, Don Shaw.
Hi there, Tom. How are you doing today?
Don Shaw. How's it going?
Fine, man.
Don Patterson is here, folks.
Yes, sir. The warden let me out again.
My name's Tom Houston, but here's the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you at this time, Phil Parr.
Turn out
now, clap louder because he's got to get more applause than the Shaw boy.
Why is that? I don't have to. No, I don't.
The applause meters, it shows.
They used to have applause meters. Remember those shows?
Yeah.
Groucho Marx. We'll judge him by the applause meter.
Ted Mack.
That's what I mean. The Ted Mack amateur eye. That's what this is.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking 200 years ago we could have done the blind hunter and gatherer, couldn't we?
We probably could have.
Blind guys.
The blind hunter.
So you didn't. What are they, blind guys? They, of course, they a lot of infanticide, like you said, Pat. They just knocked them out, kind of bashed their heads in at birth and killed them.
Yep.
Never saw too many blind Native Americans probably riding attacking wagon trains.
What did you say that humans are the only species that save their handicap, and you're not sure that's a good thing.
Well,
didn't you say that?
Don't attribute that to me exactly. It's just a point of thought.
Point of interest.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, here we are, all four sitting around, stumbling around.
They saved us for this.
Saved us for this, man.
What is
exactly right.
This was our calling.
This, I guess it was our calling to do this show. Since we've been on.
It did just kind of happen, didn't it?
Well, it did.
Just kind of happened. I mean, it's neat.
We were, you know, I was thinking about that the other day. It started out as, I'll show those jerks at ACB Radio how to do a by God talk show. Watch this. And that's what it started out as. You know, that's exactly what happened.
And that was one of those afternoons where we had,
you know,
drank a few extras.
You don't mean we were imbibing.
Well, you know, with talk like that, we better say that. Pretty strong.
I talk like that all the time. I'll show y'all how to do it.
I thought it happened when you hit your thumbnail with a hammer.
With a hammer. It could have happened.
Said, bye, blind handyman.
Boy, we need a blind handyman show of some kind here.
Yeah. Baroom.
Man.
Here's the thing, Pat. And so the inspector came out and looked at your house.
Yes, sir.
And he said that you're tell us your little story here real quick. Tell us.
Well, you know, inspectors kind of are the friend of whoever hires them. Whomever hires them. And, you know, like if you're in some negotiations, the seller always pays his part and the buyer pays their part. Or sometimes in my case, like the buyer is paying everything. And so the inspector belonged to him and or the bank whom it was loaning the money. So anyway, but he... you get, I guess, kind of what you pay for. I know we hired an inspector here a month or so ago, and his fee was like $200 and something, and Emily, the warden, and I were well satisfied with his diagnosis of the house that we were contemplating
buying. This was the Walmart inspector.
And so this guy came, you know, for $100 cheaper, and so when the purchaser of my house called me with his report, you know, he was really kind of... halfway considering maybe not buying the house. And I said, you know, what is the problem? And so he started. Anyway, the guy had said that the air conditioning pan was full of water and water was coming out the emergency drain, which, you know, could have been a piece of insulation could have gotten in there. But actually, when I got up there, it was obvious that the inspector had never been anywhere around it. The air conditioner unit is new. The condenser and heating unit, 2 years, it would take forever to get algae enough to stop up the drain. There wasn't a drop of water in the pan. He misidentified.
He was looking at a drain that's not used anymore.
He was
right?
looking at a drain that wasn't used, and he would have known that had he bothered to go up in the attic. So he didn't do that. When he started telling the buyer about doorknobs that were broken, I knew I had them. I mean, if that's the worst he could find, you know, he diagnosed the foundation as a crack, and he didn't say superficial, which there again, the guy was kind of skittish. It turned out it was a little retaining wall that had nothing to do with the foundation.
Yeah.
What a deal.
So we went over this with the guy, and he's very happy. And I said, you know, but you didn't ask the guy one thing. I said, the bottom line, you're paying the man. Ask him if there's any reason you shouldn't buy this house. And he said, you know, I'm just going to call him and ask him. So he called the guy and asked him, said, should I not buy this house? And, oh, no, it's the greatest house. It's a great house. For that money, buy the house. And so it's just all in phraseology, I guess. But you got to be careful you know, and if you're the seller and it's not your inspector, don't be afraid to challenge them if you know. Because this guy, for 2 cents, I think if I hadn't been able to explain some things to him, I think he would have walked away.
Backed out.
You'd have been buying a new air, or he'd have made you replace the air conditioner or get somebody out there to unstop, you know.
Well, it scared him about the foundation. And I've done some research on cracked slabs and everything. And the phrase, the key word that the man left out is superficial. Cracks, because all foundations have.
That's exactly what I was going to say. All slabs have cracks.
And I explained that to the home buyer, he said, you know, my house is 3 years old, and I've got some cracks in my garage.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, they all have it, you know. And so, anyway, he's all good, and we're good to go. But for a moment, I was kind of paranoid.
But if that pan had been stopped up, the thing to do is get Phil's big shop vac, clean it out, and put some chlorine in it.
Put a chlorine tablet, blow it out with a little air
and
compressor.
It won't stop up anymore. So if you're having that problem, if you pay fan is, or air conditioner fan is stopped up, that's the way to undo that. Blow it out. I just took mine apart, put my mouth on it, and blew it out and put some chlorine in it, and it's never stopped up again. So,
anyway. Well, like I say, and I think the key thing there, especially, you know, if you're a blind or partially sighted person and you are in the home buying business, actually you would, if you hired the inspector yourself, and that's not a bad investment, hiring your own inspector, even if somebody else has one. And then you're counting on this person, and you don't want them to tell you, exaggerate things, but you don't want them to gloss over. But the bottom question, the bottom line is there any reason I should not buy this house?
And
he didn't ask that question, so.
All right. Well, so be careful. Beware of inspectors.
Yeah.
Highways are fraught with marauders. Just remember.
Yeah.
Speaking of the cruise, and somebody was speaking of the cruise, weren't they?
Email.
It was indeed. It says, hi, guys. Well, today's show was great as usual. I want to hear more about this cruise. February is when my birthday is, so I want to know the 5 W's, who, what, when, where, and why. So I look forward to finding out more about this later and keep on fixing stuff.
Yeah.
And this is from a young lady, I would assume, named Dixie.
Well, she may not be young, but she's a lady, we assume. Anyway.
Well, yay Dixie. I mean, yay Dixie. Welcome to the...
It's funny that Luann's birthday is going to be in the middle of the... Luann's birthday is March 4th. And we'll be, we'll leave the 29th, it'll be Sunday, Monday, so that'll be Thursday. We'll be in Cozumel or some silly place.
Well, so if you hate the blind handyman, come and celebrate your birthday.
Come and celebrate your birthday.
Yeah.
And it's, let me mention that you don't have to be blind or know the blind handyman or anything about blind people or even like blind people.
To go
on this. We just need people to go on this cruise and
it up at your school or church.
That's
or
right.
Get anybody to go.
Yeah, sure.
And we got a pretty good rate. You can go to the Carnival website and you can look at this cruise and you can see what the rate is, and then you can look at ours and you'll find that we did pretty good. We got a little discount for booking as many cabins as we've got, and we want everybody to go on the cruise. It's in case you, if you don't have information about the cruise, email either the blind handyman or you can email me at my email address at philparr@txucom.net, or you can, I'm fixing to sneeze.
You can email the blind handyman at blindhandyman@hotmail.com.
blindhandyman@hotmail.com or me at philparr@txucom. No, there's no dot between the TXU and com. txucom.net, or my phone number is 936-634-9500, and I don't mind being called if you want some information. Now, what I'm doing is putting together a little list of the like. Remember, I put a thing together when we were doing the Blind Weekend with Dale and Kevin.
Yeah,
put a list together like that where I can dispense information, because I found out several things that aren't on our first draft I wrote about the cruise, like about parking. There is parking
really
in New Orleans if you're going to drive your car.
Yeah,
I don't have set up yet where, like, we're going to go a day early, and the first cruise we went on, they had a hotel where you could pre-register for the cruise, and so you just got on the boat the next day. They looked at your papers and you were all filled out, so you just got to get on the
really
on the, yeah.
Do
and
you
so
think
that,
that's going to be available?
I'm going to find out. I have not talked to the lady, but I'm going to check on that. If it is, that'd be the thing to do. It'd be go to New Orleans and.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting a lot of good people, and we're going to set up a list for that. But if you want to go cruising with us, We'd love to have you. It's March 29th through the 7th of February. It's February 29th through March 7th.
Yeah.
Or to March 7th. That's just Sunday through Sunday. So if you're working, you can take off on Sunday, come on Sunday. And the boat doesn't leave till 6 that night, so you'd have plenty of time to fly in, unless you're flying from, like Dale Evans, Levin said he was going to have to fly in a day early.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, if you're flying from Chicago, you can get a flight into New Orleans. And they, our price includes transportation from the airport to the ship and from the ship back to the airport.
That's excellent. That's real
that
good.
That was included in the price. Your port charges are included because there are three ports of call, Cayman Islands, Grand Cayman, Cozumel, and what else? One other.
So each one of these ports, you're saying, has a port charge that is included in the price, or that would have to be paid up front.
Yeah, that all, and you pay that whether you get off or not.
Either way. So
it's part of the deal, but a lot of times you'll see a cabin and you'll say, well, that cruise is only $5.95, and then you find out there's a $150 port charge, and there's a charge to go from the airport to the ship.
Well, yeah, all that adds up, man.
So we just dumped it all in one. We didn't do gratuities, which have to be prepaid. We didn't do that,
right.
And something else was one of the.
Well, you can prepay your gratuities, I guess.
Well, you decide as a group. Yeah. You have to decide as a group whether to pay them, and we decided to pay them.
Yeah,
get them out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't make any sense not to. Those people, you know, if you've ever been in entertainment or done anything like that, they need to be paid too.
And well, they do.
So you pay once you get on the ship. Everything is free there are a lot of things that aren't free, but everything you need, all your food and lodging and cleaning and everything you need is free except your booze and soft drinks.
Okay.
That's just the way it is, and it's we won't talk so much about this next week, but I'd like to get we need 100 people.
Yeah, we do. That'd be great. We'd have some fun, wouldn't we?
Oh,
yeah.
We'd have 100 people. We're going to do a couple of handyman shows while we're on the.
Yeah.
Oh man,
They're already calling about the.
They're already calling about the cruise.
Show 47 is that the number they want? What is?
But man, it'd be a blast. Now
it's going to be. We're going to try to do a couple of blind handyman shows while we're on the cruise, and even if you've never heard of the blind handyman, you might enjoy seeing us make idiots of ourselves
live before a studio.
Before a studio audience, they've given us a meeting room. There's lots of those little meeting rooms, and so they've given us a little meeting room that we can have our little socials in, get together and visit.
And I thought one of the ideas that was great for blind folks is bring your family band radio. Man, if anyone gets lost or turned around or anything, you know, you could always get an answer.
Yeah,
if we can't
talk you back, we'll send somebody
to
fetch you. We'll send somebody because there'll be lots of sighted wives on there and.
Folks.
You and Pat, and there'll be lots of sighted folks. And if we, if you get hopelessly lost, if we can't talk you back from where you are, I thought some blind guy will probably want to commit suicide. We're on the ship and jump off. Don't you imagine?
Over the rail.
That kind of spice up the cruise, wouldn't
it? Man.
That would be something else, I guarantee.
What a deal, man.
You didn't really mean that.
We'll talk you back from the edge, is what I mean.
We will.
Have your family been right
there. Or not.
Or not, depending on whether we...
That's right.
See, we could talk you out of but that'd be great to kind of a little drama.
So 50 blind guys out there going, Mayday, Mayday.
Yeah.
Over the rail, folks.
It'll be
great, man.
I think it'll be great fun.
I'm really looking forward to it.
And so the food, they say the food. I've never been on a cruise. They say the food in Tom Houston is just great.
Yum, yum. I'm ready.
Everybody you'll gain some weight on the cruise. They have handicapped accessible rooms. If you need that sort of thing, you can get those. But we need to know about those things early. We need to know about them now. We need to know also about if you're going to take a dog. If you take your dog, we have a dog relief area set up. But there are some papers that you're required to have concerning your dog before you get on the ship, and you have to have those. And I have all that information. Be glad to send it to you. All right. Is that enough?
Okay, yeah. I think you really did a good job there.
I did.
Danny Crone wrote us, or emailed us, I should say, and he wants to know what a screw removal tool looks like. Anybody know?
A screw removal tool.
A screw removal tool.
I never heard of one.
I don't think I have either.
I have not.
Well, a pair of vice grips might, if you were lucky, might remove
I don't know. I don't know, but I bet somebody emails us and tells us. I thought it was a screwdriver turned backwards, you know.
Yeah. A screwdriver in reverse.
Screw removal tool. Yeah. I have absolutely no concept of what that could possibly be.
Now, I've seen a screwdriver where you put the screwdriver head into the screw and push a little gizmo down, and it kind of spreads the blade of the screwdriver out and kind of locks into the screw head.
I've seen those.
But for removing screws, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you this. If you have a cordless drill or drill, even a corded drill, you can buy for like $3 at Walmart all the different, there are probably 10 different sizes of Phillips screw bits.
Oh, sure.
So even if you've walled out the screw, you can find something in that. And they're cheap.
I have a set come in a little rubber
case. Yeah, it's a little rubber deal.
And there's 16.
I mean,
I have the little star screw heads. The new. I don't know why they keep inventing new kind of screw heads, but mine has the little star burst, I call them, and the little Phillips and regular slotted screws. I can't imagine, unless this was a riddle or a joke. I have no idea.
He sounds serious here.
You think it's a riddle?
Well, no, what's the...
This week's puzzler.
This week's
I don't want to hear it.
Screw removal.
Okay, well, there's another part to this. He says, are those all-in-one wrench tools, like the ones you see advertised on television, any good? Anybody have one of those things?
Phil does.
I got one.
The
Robo
Wrench or something. And for light duty work, they're not. If you want to grab a wrench and undo a nut right quick, they're fine. But they're for heavy stuff, you want to get the socket. Speaking of that, the water hose blew off the pool cleaner again the other day.
Man.
And that's the third time I've done that.
Yeah.
You know
what
I did? I went to the hardware store and got a radiator hose clamp. It, by God, won't come off again.
It won't come off this time.
It's got one of these nuts that sucks the hose down in it and tightens up on the rubber. And it's supposed to hold it, but it was leaking a little bit, and I thought, I'll just move this around and quit the leak. And of course, it's spraying straight up and falling right back down on you, and you've got to reach over while water's pouring on you and turn the electricity off.
Man.
That's the third time that's happened. I threw away the plastic fitting and bought a radiator hose clamp. It will not happen to me again.
No,
that's not,
sure won't.
Because I came in, what happened to you? What the hell do you think?
Yeah.
You complained about the pool cleaner leaking. Don't leak now, it's off.
Yeah.
Anyway, who's our guest?
They'll take care of that, won't it?
Yeah.
Our guest today is a prior guest that's been on before, Tim Ford.
Yep.
He's going to come back. He wants to talk about some consumer auto repair issues and the lemon laws and things like that.
That is a good thing. We'll have Tim on in just a minute. More of the Blind Handyman Show, y'all.
Hotmail.com. Contact information. Blind like me. Blind like me. Lowercase all one word at txucom.net. That's blind like me at txucom.net. Contact information. Blind handyman listserv. Blind handyman - subscribe at yahoogroups.com. That's blind handyman - subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Contact information. Blind handyman at hotmail.com. Blind like me at txucom.net. Blind handyman - subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Email us often and give us your opinion. If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, give us your contact information. Do you remember?
Simmons and Andy.
Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
Box 13.
Captain Midnight.
The Cavalcade of America.
Kondo. The Magician.
The Incomparable Charlie Chan.
The Cisco Kid.
Dangerous assignment.
Dimension X.
Dragnet.
If you love old-time radio, point your browser to
www.otrcat.com.
You'll find thousands of old-time radio shows just waiting for you, and the price is right.
That's www.otrcat.com.
From Amos and Andy to X-1, this is The Source.
www.otrcat.com.
You're listening to the Blind Handyman on the ACB Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Welcome back to the Blind Handyman Show, number 47. And talked to this gentleman before one time. I asked him if he was Tennessee Ernie's nephew. Not too many people remember Tennessee Ernie Ford, but I bet you do, don't you, Tim?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
But he was my uncle. Why wouldn't I remember him?
Why wouldn't you remember him? You're drinking Uncle Tennessee, huh? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Speaking of drinking Tennessee, I've been intrigued with some of those notes on the Blind Handyman list about that moonshine that Clifford talks about. I've never tried it.
Yeah, man.
Has he got a recipe for moonshine on the list? What's the deal?
You never know.
He just claims to have some familiarity.
He does.
Yeah.
Well, that wouldn't be bad. I mean, we don't mind that. We'll take all comers. You know, we don't really discriminate.
Maybe he'll bring it on the cruise you folks are playing.
Maybe he will. Are you going?
I don't think so, but it's tempting.
Well, we need you.
That would be great.
It's going to be a lot of fun. You're I believe from last time, you're an attorney.
Yes, I try to keep that quiet, but
a practicing attorney.
Well, we're always practicing. It's a funny thing. You think we get it right after a while, but somehow we're always practicing.
My wife's little joke is, "What's the difference a werewolf and a female lawyer?" The female lawyer wears lipstick, I think, is the only. And if all the lawyers in East Texas were laid end to end, it'd be a good thing.
I heard that from the last show.
You did. Same old lame jokes, aren't they? I am learning anything new. Anyway, you wanted to talk about a couple specific issues. Go ahead. We'll just give you the floor, and we'll jump in. We need to.
Okay. I work on cars and have for years and do a lot of my own repairs and maintenance. But what I really thought would be most useful to a lot of blind folks out there is how to get the most out of repair services. Because a lot more of us have cars than work on them.
That's sure. True.
And there's a lot that can be done there to make a big, big difference in how much you pay, whether or not you have to pay it all, and getting things done right the first time.
Yeah.
Especially with the way new cars are now, they last a lot longer than older ones did.
Mm-hmm.
The motors last a lot longer, and it's been said, I've read it numerous times, that no matter how you look at it, the cheapest way to operate a car is to buy one and run it for years and just replace and rebuild things when they come up.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah.
You have to be interested. You know, some people just want a new car. But if you want to look at pure dollars and cents, you can do a lot better by doing that. You know, some people will say, oh, the transmission's starting to go. Well,
you replace
$1,000 and it's done.
Yeah.
And how much is the car payment a month?
A bunch.
Doesn't take long to make up $2,000. So I talk about that, and maybe the best place to start would be with the big dealerships and explain why things will so often go wrong with a big dealership. Now, first of all, the thing to keep in mind is that even though you may not know anything about cars, I'm not talking about you guys, but
yeah.
out there, is you know better than anyone how your cars operate. And that information is actually extremely useful for a mechanic trying to figure out what's wrong with it. because they can't drive it as much and under all the conditions you do. Plus, they don't know what it was like before. And that basis of information is frequently not tapped nearly to the extent that it can be. Now, the typical dealership, which a lot of people use, or a big garage, you drive in there and you talk to a man or a woman who's the service writer. And they'll chat with you, and you'll either tell them a bunch of stuff or maybe not enough, but you'll tell them stuff. And what are they doing? They're taking little notes.
Sure.
And so right there you've got the old thing about when you repeat something, what the second person gets out of it. So they're summarizing, and maybe not even correctly, what you told them.
And so you say that we're losing something in the translation.
You're losing a lot in the translation.
Okay.
But they're still talking to you. So at least you've got that much. They may kind of understand. And then what happens? It gets turned over sometimes to an assistant service writer and then to the mechanic. But there's at least one extra step. And so you're never talking directly with the mechanic. And vice versa. So the person who really would benefit most from knowing all this detail doesn't get it. And so they'll, you know, just start out with some sketchy instructions, and they may not even be thinking of what you're talking about. Give you an example of what happened to me. I don't know beans about air conditioners, but I know when they don't work.
Yeah, when they're not cooling.
And so I had one that would suddenly just quit, and it would, I mean, it would blow, but it would suddenly be warm. And then it'd start being cold again. Intermittent problems, and that's one thing I'll explain, is intermittent problems are the hardest thing in the world for a shop to deal with. If it's broke, they know it because they know when they fixed it and they can find it. If it's intermittent, even the best shop in the world may not be able to find it, and you can spend a whole lot of money with them guessing.
And that holds true for any condition.
And, they won't guarantee that that what they do the first time is going to fix it. Well, you may find some shop, and you can press them on that, but generally they're just giving their best advice. It's kind of like lawyers. We tell you what our best advice is, and then when you end up in jail, we say, hey, it was our best idea.
Yeah.
So back to this air conditioner. All I did was I kept detailed little notes on, okay, this day it's such and such a temperature outside, and here we're driving along around the freeway, and it works fine for 15 minutes, and then it suddenly became warm for 10 minutes, and it came back on, and it was cool again.
Okay.
Describe this in some detail. And it was a page and a half, typed up. And when my wife took it in because I was at work, I said, make sure that they get this and that they give it to the mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out later, the guy said, I finished reading your thing, and I was 95% sure what it was before I ever touched a car.
Okay, but he knew a couple things it wasn't. It wasn't low of Freon because it cooled some. I mean, if you'd taken it in and just said, my air conditioner doesn't work, chances are the first thing he would have checked would have been put his gauge on it to see if there was enough coolant. Well, that was a useless step. You knew it had plenty of coolant.
Yeah, he admitted that what he would have done was go through a whole bunch of the general diagnostic steps because frequently that's all he's told is air conditioner doesn't work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure that happens a lot.
And so he took 5 minutes to go to the exact test for what he thought it was, and that's what it turned out to be.
Sure enough, that's what it was.
And
it
replaced that. And so all I really had to pay for was the cost of the part and the labor to install it, and next to nothing, if anything, for the diagnostic stuff.
So just FYI, one of those little doors under the dash wasn't opening and closing right, a relay, little relay or what?
Nope, turned out it was the air conditioner compressor clutch was overheating.
Okay.
Really?
And so it was turning it. It was disengaging itself based upon overheating. And then when it would cool down enough, it would come back on.
So it would disengage, and then you'd just be blowing air, and then it would come back on.
Yeah.
And there's some sensor that tells that controls that was bad.
It was just the actual clutch itself was overheating. The actual electromagnet assembly that actually gets told to turn on and then engages the fan with the air conditioner itself.
So point being, if you can, keep notes yourself on the condition that you want fixed on your car, right?
Keep your notes, write them up yourself, hand a copy to the service writer, and specifically say, please give this directly to the mechanic.
Uh-huh. And good point.
Great advice.
And, you know, it sounds simple enough when you think about it, but the shops never recommend it. In fact, sometimes when you hand them a printout and say, please give this to the mechanic, sometimes they'll go, okay. Like it's a novel idea to them.
Yeah.
But the ones that have been around for a while, they'll understand the value of it. Because repairs can be a lot, and you can spend hundreds of dollars on nothing but diagnostic work.
Oh, yeah.
And they never find it.
And never figure out what's really wrong with your car.
Yeah. The other advantage of doing your notes and keeping your paperwork is if you have a string of problems. That can be very, very valuable later on, especially if it gets to be a lemon situation. Because without print records, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And that leads me to a trick that actually got pulled on me. I had an intermittent little problem with a vehicle. It was under warranty. And it would be on, and then we'd get almost to the dealership, and the light would go out.
Oh, great.
And I just did this. And they were friendly. They say, oh, gee whiz, we're sorry about that. Hey, next time, bring it back. We'll get right on it. And this happened 3 times. And the car knew when it was approaching the dealership.
Yeah.
It worked. It was as bad as it was on for a full hour, and it blinked out as we came in the driveway.
That's how it worked, man.
So finally, I got it all the way there when the light was still on. And guess what?
What?
Warranty had run out, and there was no evidence that I had reported it before the warranty ran out.
Uh-huh.
And I had to pay for that.
Because they didn't write it down. You didn't tell them to.
Yeah.
What should you have... How could you have prevented that?
You go... When you go in and they say, oh, great, just bring it back when it's a problem. Say, I need to get it down in writing that I'm having this problem. So that if we can't figure out what it is before the warranty runs out, I'll be covered. And so they just take a report, they write down customer reports, blah, blah, blah. And then they'll put a little note saying that it wasn't a problem when they saw it, but it's still down, and you keep those.
And make sure they do that.
And make sure they do that. And that tolls the warranty. That protects you within a reasonable time. There's probably not an exact figure, but that has worked for me where something's reported before. And even though they didn't figure it out until afterwards, the whole thing was covered.
And
I got a complete new engine that way. I knew I had some problem, but it wasn't a major deal.
Yeah.
And I reported it 100 miles before the 70,000.
Yeah.
And they wrote it all down, and we figured it out about 4,000 miles later, and got a whole new engine. So,
well, I have a friend who was towing a car and forgot to take it out of gear. And, of course, it threw a rod. And he just towed it down to the dealership and parked it and said, I don't know what happened. I went out one morning and it wouldn't start.
Uh-huh.
And they put him an engine in it. He just pled ignorance. He knew exactly what had happened. But he just told him, I just went out one morning and it wouldn't start. I don't know what's wrong with it. Gave him, put him just, you know. I don't know if they felt sorry for him or what, but they put him a new engine in the car.
engine time.
Well, they can do that. I just heard of a woman who was a faithful Honda owner, did everything the dealership recommended in terms of service, and the transmission lost a major seal and blew out at
$85,000. Whoa.
So it was outside the warranty.
Yeah.
And the dealership said, well, you know, all she did was, and they said it would be $5,300, thank you. Or $5,500.
Wow.
For some reason, the new Honda transmissions are $5,000.
Now,
the fact that you could go to another place and get it rebuilt for half that, they didn't rebuild transmissions at that place. So her son-in-law just said, well, ask them for something better. In other words, pursue things just a little bit. So she went back and said, gee, this is my fourth Honda, and I've done everything you say, and that seems a little early for the transmission to go out. Is there anything we can do about this? Make a long story short, they ended up striking a deal and went up the line where Honda Motor Company provided the new transmission, and she paid $400 for the dealer's cost to put it in.
Wow, what and, a deal, man.
Yeah.
You know, in certain companies, probably better than others, actually it's my wife's brother-in-law is a big boat owner. I mean, we're talking big boat, and he's the second owner of this boat. It actually had a new engine put in by Caterpillar because the previous owner had kept such meticulous records, and there had always been a problem with his engine. And when it finally cratered, Caterpillar replaced the engine. He paid for labor, but he got a brand new engine.
Yeah. And then they'll do that. Now, of course, I just read today a little talk about boats is the best day of your life is when you buy a boat.
Right.
The second best day is when you sell the boat.
Well, he's a big boat enthusiast, but I was amazed that they came and put the engine in.
Have you sued anybody? Have you tried the lemon law? Have you gotten anybody a new car with the lemon law?
There are people that specialize in that area. I don't. I know those laws exist. In California, had one of the early lemon laws, so I really don't know about that. But for people who don't know what that is, if you've got a new car that meets whatever your state's definition of being lemon, which is like how many days it's in the shop in a short period of time, then eventually you can end up with the manufacturer having to buy the car back from you.
Yeah.
But what does that require? Lots of records. You got to make sure that you report everything and get it down in writing. And it just makes good sense that way. One other thing I can mention about manufacturers and parts is dealership parts tend to be the most expensive. And there are situations and kinds of parts where aftermarket parts will work just as well, will cost half or less. Sometimes will even come with lifetime guarantees.
Yeah.
And that's just the way the market works on that. And so people want to be aware of that, especially if they have a friend who's handy enough with cars. They can buy the parts from their local. I don't know if you have Napa. Napa's nationwide.
We have Napa. We have AutoZone.
Yeah, you know, any of those chains. Now, why do they have lifetime guarantees when a dealership will guarantee a part for a year? It's marketing. The pure truth is that most people don't ever come back.
That's true.
It's kind of like I just read about rebates. Say even for major rebates, like on electronics or computers, half the people never turn in the rebate.
Yeah.
So that's how they make their money. But I've got a car run for 350,000 miles, and there's a couple of three parts on there that I just keep bringing back. And they just hand me the new ones.
But then a lot of people, how many people, like you say, will bring back those old brake pads, you know, and a lot of folks won't. So.
And guess what you got to have when you bring back those old brake pads?
What's that?
The receipt.
And a lot of that was kind of happening, too, though. I got in a deal like that with alternators. My mother had an old Oldsmobile, and they kept warrantying the alternator for life. But you know what? Every time I took it back, every 90 days or so, they charged me a new labor charge.
Well,
so they were really coming out.
Yeah, that's where you got to have the friend with the shade tree.
Right.
Shade tree to work on, because that'll break you on the labor. But
yes,
if you can do it yourself or get a friend to do it, that can be a great way to save money.
Actually, when you buy a television or a refrigerator or a computer or something like that, they make the most money on that maintenance agreement.
Yep.
Because most people don't exercise. Most people don't use them.
Right.
I've got a lawnmower that, by God, Sears ain't going to come out on this and Clyde. Guy's been out here 4 or 5 times, but my father-in-law broke the... I don't know how he did this. He broke the belt that runs the mower.
Really?
I have no idea how he... You know, cut it with his pocket.
No.
I don't know what the hell he did. Anyway, Tim, we appreciate you, and maybe we save somebody some time and money. And you don't think about blind people having cars, but lots of us do.
Lots.
Yep. And we're in the same boat as everybody else when it comes to getting them fixed.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that is Speaking exactly of right. boats, Tim, come go on the cruise with us.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's really tempting.
Well, you need to go.
Try to work that out, man.
We need all the help we can get. Trust me.
Well, Clifford brings his recipe. Then I'll think very hard.
There you go.
I'll work on that, Tim. Thank you, sir, and we'll talk to you in a day or two.
Bye. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
Thanks. Ford from out in California, our guest, telling you about how to get your car fixed. And Don Patterson, once again, with a secret subject. And we'll be back in just a minute to talk with Don, all right?
case, one word, at hotmail.com. That's blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Contact information. Blind like me. Blind like me. Lowercase, all one word, at txucom.net. That's blindlikeme@txucom.net. Contact information. Blind handyman listserv. Blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. That's blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Contact information. blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Blind like me at txucom.net. Blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Email us often and give us your opinion. If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, give us your contact information. Do you remember?
Famous and Andy!
Harry Craig, confidential investigator.
Old Venture, Box 13.
Captain Midnight.
The Cavalcade of America.
Kondo, the magician.
The incomparable Charlie Chan.
The Cisco Kid.
Dangerous assignment.
Dimension X.
Dragnet.
If you love old-time radio, point your browser to
www.otrcat.com.
You'll find thousands of old-time radio shows just waiting for you, and the price is right.
That's www.otrcat.com.
From Amos and Andy to X-1, this is The Source.
www.otrcat.com.
Thanks for listening to The Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. If you have an idea for a topic or project you would like us to discuss, let us know at our address, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, back to the show with Don Patterson.
Okay. Guess what I'm going to talk about today. If y'all have been listening for 47 shows worth, I guess you kind of know I like gadgets and I like convenient things and I like nifty inventions. And some of it, everybody else in the world may have already known about it, and I just kind of happen on it and still think it's great.
Yep.
And I don't know, several shows back we were talking about fencing, even prices and different types, the
PVC.
Chain link or wrought iron, they make it out of aluminum, vinyl, they call it, or PVC to other people. That's what I call it, PVC, but they call it vinyl. And we were talking about how expensive and tedious and this sort of thing. Well, actually, when the warden and I, of course, had purchased 4 acres, and we're building a house on it, and of course, then the question of fencing, how we're going to fence part of it or some of it. We don't have any, farm animals, horses or anything to keep in, but we're probably going to wind up out of the 4 acres, setting aside like a 150 by 150 foot area and making that a yard, and then probably fencing half of that. Because when I agreed to marry the warden, I also became part custodian of a 90-pound Great Dane named Gracie. And so when we've moved back to we've sold the warden's house, and so we moved back in my house. Now, it's real strange that the day I owned my house, I had the most perfect, beautiful fence. But the minute I sold the house, and the landlord and the guy rented it back to me, I thought the landlord had the most terrible fence. It has holes in it, and it's strange how those things would happen.
It is.
And so there we were, stuck with the 90 pounds of dog in the house all the time, because you can't. She'll stay with you pretty well, but mostly if you have to take her out on her leash. And so sometimes that's just inconvenient, and I'm going, what can I do? What can I do? The fence is really, I think I can patch some of it, but just don't want to take the chance. Went to Lowe's and purchased, or called them and said, do you have anything, but we have a big crate, by the way, a big carrying crate, but you didn't keep a dog in there. It's just really torture.
Oh,
and
yeah,
like I say,
man.
Basically 90% of her time, she stays in the house on the couch under the air conditioning.
Yeah,
just
smart.
The times that you want, Gracie, take off for a minute, someplace to put Gracie. Well, call Lowe's. I have a crate. Do you have anything bigger than a crate? Well, actually, we have some pre-assembled dog kennels. Oh, yeah? Tell me about them. Well, as it turns out, I go out to Lowe's, and they have 6 feet tall, chain link fence, comes in 10 foot long panels.
Uh-huh.
You buy four of them, $190 before taxes, which figures out about $47.50 per panel. And I put them together, and Gracie has a 100-square-foot pen.
Yeah.
And you can put it anywhere. It stands up by itself. You don't have any posts. Now, I actually incorporated one of the walls of the house, the garage, and got more area out of it. I lucked out and had a tree in the right spot and used it as a post. And so I have actually probably expanded it to 150 square feet.
No kidding.
It comes, one of the sections comes with a gate in it. And, I mean, we're talking, it has the gauge, and I don't remember it, but, I mean, we're talking heavy-duty, nice chain-link fence.
Yeah.
And on the market, if you price it, you cannot buy chain-link fence installed for $47.50 a foot.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, or for 10 feet.
Yeah, for 10 foot. You could.
Which would be about $470. A foot.
You could
but
not.
Even if I, and so I got to thinking, and I read in the little small print, it says additional panels can be had.
Oh, that's neat.
And so actually, I could fence in, I would not be ashamed to fence in an entire yard with this. And one man, believe it or not, if you had your posts set, now you would have to buy posts at about $5 per to do this the way I want to do it, but you could actually handle. Unlike wood fencing, where you sometimes need an extra pair of hands, I think you kind of figured out how to do your.
Yeah.
You can,
but you could definitely.
You
use
can
a pair
move
of hands.
And maneuver one panel by yourself, 6 feet tall, 10 feet long, and because you can clamp it in one, it sort of stands up by itself, or you can kind of prop it up, and you can fasten one end of it and then go down to the other end. There's nothing to turn
if
loose.
If it was standing by itself, that's the plus.
Setting on the ground, but so actually instead of talking to fence contractors, I mean, I've called people in Houston, like Alamo Fence, I think it's a big nationwide or some kind of franchise deal, and they'll quote you a good price per foot, but that's not installation.
Yeah,
when you start getting
sure.
into the installation. But really, I have decided that I'm probably going to fence a good part of this backyard area that I'm talking about with this product.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, is there a post on each end of the pen?
No, there is a curve. It's a prefab unit, so there is a post, but there's nothing to put in the ground. There's tubing on each end. You're not just stuck with an open end where your mesh is there. So you would have to, between two sections, you're going to have to set a post to do it out in the yard. Like when you do the big square, like I've done for
you
the
pen. You just put the tubing together and stood it up.
Yeah, they send you clamps, and it stands up like a box, you know, on the ground.
I got you there, but you'd have to sink some posts.
Yeah, you'd have to sink a post every 10 and a half feet, 10 about on center, and then but you had attaches to it, and it would be a beautiful fence. I'm telling you, this is some fine, and for the price, it's just
Now, when they deliver these panels, are they made up in like one long 10-foot section and six-foot
yep,
wide
I got four
section.
Of them, 10 by six. 6 feet tall and 10 feet long, and one man, if you get right in the center of it and pick it up,
you can
handle
it. Up. Okay.
Yeah.
And they brought
cool.
it to you,
they
you
brought,
went and
we
got
paid
it.
The extra $30. You'd really need a trailer. A pickup would not accommodate it. I mean, it'd have to be a big 10 pickup.
Yeah, 10-foot long, man.
And 6 foot tall, it would be laying up on one side.
Yeah.
So if you had your big trailer that you loaned me, would
that's
be
what
the
I'm saying.
Thing.
You could lay a lot of fencing on that
little
trailer.
Boy trailer.
I mean,
yeah,
it stacks
you could.
Good. It would stack. You could stack them 10 high and not do any damage. I mean, I'm thinking about telling Lowe's to order me, 10 times, about 15 of these puppies.
The
15 sections.
Part though is being able to set your pole and then take the whole panel and stretch it down to where you'd need the next
and there's
post.
No, and there's no stretch. In other words, the fence is already prefab, so it's already stretched. It has all the clamps on it. You're
that's
just standing
cool.
up a section, and you attach it with these clamps that are like a butterfly. You know, it comes in half, and you put one half on the front, and it catches two posts, and then it just has a bolt in the center that as you tighten this bolt, it clamps around your two. It puts two sides.
Okay,
of,
but now you're going to have a post between these two pieces of tubing.
Mm-hmm.
Is this clamp going to be big enough to go around the post and everything?
It will go around its post and your post, but each section comes with clamps to go with two clamps. Each section comes with two clamps, but the clamps are also, you can purchase them separately. So you would probably have to wind up buying a new clamp since I'm attaching to an independent post, you know.
Yeah. If you want two clamps on each end of each section.
Top and bottom, yeah.
So you'd have to buy. Now, the clamp that you have would be big enough to go around a post and the piece of tubing that's on the end of the
fence. Right, yeah, because your fence post is going to be the same size as this tubing.
Okay, so you got to buy some other clamps.
Yeah.
So this price would include everything but post and clamps and concrete.
I figure I could do it. I figure I could do this. Taxes even included in this. Like I said, we bought the whole thing. Was $210 with the, that was taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
$210 roughly for 40 feet.
Yeah.
So if you went, you know, you're talking say 100 feet for $500 something like that, which is fencing goes for 6 feet tall fence.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
Is that cheap?
Yeah, it's cheap.
Yeah.
Well, so but here's the thing: you're gonna have to be awful exact. You're gonna have to be perfect on your post setting.
Well, actually, your clamps have some slump in them. You wouldn't have to be as precise as you would now in wood. You can kind of fudge a little bit because your 2x4s are not necessarily 8 foot. Yeah, you would have to be precise within reason, but you could
You have to be pretty precise to make it look good.
But then if you had the panels already made up to stretch, to lay out in between, boy, it'd be easy marking the hole for the post.
I figure run your string line on the ground, and you drill your first couple of hole posts, put up your first panel, and then second panel to that post because it'll hold it up.
Yeah.
And then you go to the end of that panel and drill your hole.
Once you got the first panel up, man, you'd be home free.
And I think they even have posts now that go down with augers. Like, you don't really need to pour sacrete. You know,
you just crank the post down.
Yeah, you can just screw them down.
And so what you would do is you would put up the first post and then figure out where you needed the second one, screw it in the ground, tie your fence to it, and go.
Yeah, run the string line to your final destination point so you'd be straight.
Yeah.
You know, and then just after you did one panel, hook it up on one end and go down to the other end of it and say, this post needs to go right here, and voila. I think it's going to be a fun...
Well, even if you put at your final destination point, even if you augered, if you screwed a post in the ground and had to take it up, what'd be the difference?
Right.
You know,
your string would keep you straight.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Your string would keep you straight, but your last post you'd figure on being off.
Yeah.
So you just take it, unscrew it from the ground and sounds like a deal to me, but I want to price some fencing and make... you think you're right, huh? You think it would be cheaper than... Than having
I have priced Lowe's price on 4 foot tall, 4 foot tall fence, and that's not installed. This is just the fence, and it's not assembled. It's not pre-assembled. It's $547 a foot for the mesh, and that's not counting your poles. And I've seen some rolls. You know, can buy it on the internet, and they'll ship it to you for $50 and something for a 50-foot roll. It comes out about $1 a foot, but that's just your mesh. Now, it's not your top rail. See, if you assemble it yourself, you've got a top rail.
And then you've got to buy a tool to cut it with.
Rail, bottom rail. You've got to attach it to the rails. This is all done
for
you.
The panel being made up, to me, would be the plus.
It is, and it's very nice, attractive fence. I was just super impressed.
Yeah, already assembled panels, man.
Sound like you got a deal there. This will be...
Well, we've looked at wrought iron fence, or now it's aluminum, and there again, now this is in the vinyl fence, and you can get this shipped to you, so you can avoid state taxes. Now, I've been trying to figure every angle.
And you can get what shipped to you? These sections?
Sections, yeah. Now, not that, by freight line.
But then
some of it says the truck driver is responsible to getting it to your door. You're responsible for getting it off his truck.
You need to call Lowe's. I'm sure Home Depot and anybody else has this same thing.
You need
to call Lowe's and tell them you want a bunch and take that trailer and go out there and get it.
And get it, because I was going to tell you, on this kennel, we paid $198 before taxes, and the tax is what, 6.5% in Lufkin, or 8.5%? I forget.
$8.25.
So the $16 more. So, on the internet, this same kennel was $299. In other words, so I got it from $100 cheaper from Lowe's.
No kidding.
So, anyway, I thought it was just a super good deal.
Everything on the internet is not a good bargain, folks. You need to understand that.
And Gracie likes it.
Hadn't knocked it down yet.
No, she can't knock it down. We're giving her medicine, and so she's really kind of calmed down. Turned out to be
I'd probably have
good
to
dog.
Take some of her medicine.
some kind of bromide. I don't know. It's
kind of calmed me down a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, you never know. But anyway, so that's our fencing story.
But boy, If somebody had a seeing eye dog and even or some kind of thing going like that and had a real limited area and needed some kind
that'd
of way for the
that'd
dog
be the perfect thing.
Exercise.
For
well, it worked out perfect for us.
Great.
I say the yard over there at the Allendale house is really big, but we have a couple of bad sections of fence.
Oh,
and
sure.
So I just have I've created this little area.
It'd be the thing
and
to
it's
have,
shady
man.
All the time. The area shady. It's kind of up on a little hill, so she gets air. And so we just put her out there when I get tired of her in the house.
Yeah.
She needs to go out sometimes. So.
What a
speaking
deal.
Of, speaking of dogs, we hadn't heard from Frankie Brown this
we
afternoon.
Haven't, have she, we?
I guess it's finally too hot. Summer has finally come to
oh, man,
well, she's
hadn't?
Guarding the beer box. I've actually figured out what she was doing today because I lied. There's not 12 left. There's only 7. So you folks out there will hear a mad rush to the icebox.
Wait a minute. We only have 7 beers?
7 now? Beers, yeah.
We're going to have to run to your house.
I think I may have only 7.
Is she coming after you here in a minute?
Soon, yeah.
Soon, okay. So you won't.
I won't be here.
Well, Tom just needs 3 or 4 more. Yeah, and Shaw brought his own. Don always brings his
no,
own.
No, Shaw didn't bring his own.
Not today, in fact, but I'm about done.
The one time you count on Shaw.
We can split it anyway, can't we,
Shaw? The one day we could count on
Don.
Oh,
we got plenty. I know.
Didn't make it.
And
we've knocked out another one, folks. Let me remind you about the cruise. We'll quit talking about it pretty soon, I guess. But we'd like to have everybody go. We need
we would.
You know, to just be honest about it, we need a certain amount of people to get this price. And you can go look on Carnival Cruise Lines, and you can look at our price. And remember, our price includes, we included everything. We include your port charge. We include your back and forth to the ship. And we include, we're going to take care of you. If you've never gone on a cruise, we'll show you how it's done. We'd love to have you. You can email me at philparr@txucom.net or call me 936-634-9500, and we'll tell you all about it, okay?
All right.
Guys, we appreciate your help.
Yeah, good shot. Good
send
shot.
Us some email.
We do need email, man. Where are our emails falling off to nothing?
BlindHandyman@hotmail.com.
There
that's
you go.
Right. BlindHandyman.
And how about that list, sir?
That list, if anybody wants to subscribe, it's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
We'd love to have you.
Yeah.
If you're listening on ACB Radio and it's the 8th of August, stay tuned. Nancy Davis is our guest on Blind Like Me, and she'll be up in just a minute. Thank you, gentlemen. I'm Phil Parr. I see, said the blind man as you picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced for ACB Radio by Out of Market Productions. 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.